Are you so satisfied with salvation? All you want to do is just get to heaven? Or do you want to make an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God because you have lived for Jesus? You have lived to honor him and to bring him glory.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Our broadcast this evening continues our series of messages on the book of Revelation. And tonight, Pastor Brian Grant takes as his subject the important differences between the judgment seat of Christ of 2 Corinthians 5:10 and the Great White Throne Judgment of Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. We invite you to follow along in your Bibles as Pastor Grant brings the first part of this message from God's Word, What Happens on Judgment Day. Here now is Pastor Grant.
The late Adrian Rogers once told a story about a man by the name of Bert Olney, a man who lived in a small country town who loved to intimidate preachers. So when a new preacher came to town, Bert decided he would look him up. And when he finally ran into the preacher, he said to the preacher, "I want you to know I think you preachers are frauds, and I think your churches do more harm than good. What do you think about that?" He's trying to draw the man into an argument, but instead of arguing with him, the preacher quoted Hebrews 9:27. "It is appointed to men once to die, after this the judgment." Well, Bert was upset. He told the man, "Don't quote the Bible to me. I only ask you a simple question. Is it just answer me. What do you think about what I ask?" The preacher responded, "It is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Bert got louder. "I told you to stop quoting the Bible. Are you so stupid you don't even know how to answer, how to defend your position?" The preacher responded, "It is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment." Bert angrily walked away, disappointed that he couldn't humiliate the preacher. By the way, this is a true story. And he couldn't get him into an argument. But you know, that's not the end of the story. Bert walked away, but that's not the end of the story. Because as that day, as Bert went home, as he walked home, he couldn't get rid of the word judgment. The word judgment just kept popping up in his head. As he said later, he said, "It seemed like even the frogs in the creek were shouting, judgment." Bert had to face the fact that judgment was ahead. And the Lord used that verse to bring Bert Olney to Christ. And I want to say to you this morning, some of you are looking so wonderful. I want you to know that judgment is ahead. Young man, judgment is ahead. Young woman, judgment is ahead. Judgment is ahead for both the saved and the unsaved. Some Christians are going to be surprised to hear that. Judgment is ahead for both the saved and the unsaved. The Christian life has become such a spectator sport that some Christians believe that once they're saved, they can fold their arms and skate all the way into heaven. They don't have to do a thing. Once they're saved, once I'm saved, I'm good to go. I don't have to do anything for Jesus. But my friend, I want you to know, if that describes you, you are not as prepared to meet God as you think. You think you're ready to meet God because you're saved. But if you're one of those Christians who have folded their arms and you're scooting, sliding into heaven, you are not prepared to meet God as well as you think. Because listen, the first thing on God's agenda after the rapture is the judgment seat of Christ. And this morning I want to talk about two judgments And the first one is going to be directed at those of us who know Jesus, because we as believers need to be clear that the Bible makes it very clear that every Christian is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I want to ask all of us this morning, the Spirit of God is asking, are you ready to meet Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ? So let's talk about that first judgment. Put down in your notes, the judgment seat of Christ. You say, Pastor, are you making this up? Is that really in the Bible? Turn your Bible, if you don't mind, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to give you one or two scriptures this morning, they're all in the New Testament. The first one here is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. Verse 10 is one of those verses of the Bible you need to underline. Therefore, it says, verse number 9, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. As Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he tells them, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, you can write this down, the judgment seat of Christ is for Christians only. Every Christian must appear before the Lord to give an account of their life after salvation. Listen, our eternal destiny, get this, our eternal destiny is not in question. For the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, our sin debt was stamped, paid in full. Amen? But listen, our sin debt was taken care of, and at that very moment, our reservation for heaven was completed. And I'm so glad that every person who has received Jesus Christ as Savior will make it to heaven. So this is morning, the issue for a believer is not whether you'll make it to heaven. The question is, how are you going to fare when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Because you are going to stand there. How are you going to fare? The Greek word judgment seat, you can write this down too. The Greek word translated judgment seat is the word bema. It's the word bema. It was a platform from which awards were given to the winners in the annual Greek games, which are forerunner to the Olympic Games. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, it tells us that every Christian has been given a spiritual race to run, and that God expects us to run to win. And so this morning, as we talk about this judgment seat, as God challenges us regarding our responsibility in light of the fact that we will stand before this judgment seat, I want to share just three things with you very quickly. The first thing I want to share with you, that at this judgment seat, it will be a time of review. You can write that down. It will be a time of review. I'll put this verse on the screen for you, 1 John 2:28. And here's what it says. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Little children, abiding him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will review our lives. And the Apostle John knew that. So he was serving the Lord with passion. He wanted to make sure that when he stood before the judgment seat, he would not be ashamed. How about you? Are you living, come on now, are you living your Christian life in such a way that when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sin, are you living in such a way that you will not be ashamed, that you will not have to hang your head in shame because of you did so little for the cause of Christ? Some people love to have their names on the church register, but that's about it. But my friend, God did not save us to sit on the bench. He saved us to become involved in spreading the gospel, in taking his message to the end of the world. And my friend, if you are one of the bench warmers, listen, it's time to get busy for God, because we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat. It will not only be a time of review, but secondly, it will be a time of revelation. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And here's how it reads in verse number 5. It says this: "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God." Oh my. Judge nothing before, and the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. It's so tough to be found out. I remember being called into the principal's office at school, and I realized I had been found out. It's such an uncomfortable feeling when you have been found out. Have you ever been there? But just imagine standing before the God of this world, standing before the Christ who died for our sin, who has blotted out the sins, our sin, all the stuff that we did prior to our salvation. And yes, his blood has even taken the penalty of our sins since salvation. But how are we going to feel when the omniscient God who knows everything, he reveals all the stuff we did in the dark, all the stuff we thought we got away with? What is it going to be? Just imagine how you're going to feel when all the stuff you thought you had gotten away with is revealed, and you're standing before the living God. He's not only going to reveal the things done in secret in the dark. The Bible says here, he's also going to reveal the counsels of the heart. He'll even shine light on the good things we did to impress. Do you know we can do some good stuff for the wrong reason? We're only serve. Listen, when I'm encouraging you, as the Spirit of God challenges you to become more involved and to get off the bench, he's not telling you to get off the bench to please the elders or to please anybody. No, no, no. If you're only going to get involved to make the pastor feel good, just stay where you are. What God is calling us to do, listen, he wants us to do the right thing for the right reason, to please the God, to please the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross of Calvary to save us, wretches like us, to save us from sin. And he is encouraging us and challenging us, and he's warning us, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There'll be no reward for things done with impure motives. But third, which is where I want to put a little more emphasis, it will be a time of reward. Write that in your notes. It will be a time of reward. You know, just as the victorious Greek athletes appeared before the Bema to receive their perishable award, every Christian will appear before Christ's Bema, which is the word translated judgment seat. Every Christian, I hope you get the picture. The Greek athletes appeared before the Bema to receive their award. And the Bible is saying that every Christian will appear before Christ's Bema to receive his imperishable, his or her imperishable award. You say, "Brian, you're making this up." I'm not. Look with me, if you don't mind, at the very last chapter in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And one of the things, I had never noticed this in context with the judgment seat of Christ, but until I was preparing this message, and as I looked at it, I said, wow, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 12. And here's what Jesus says. One of the last things he says in the Bible, those of you who have red letter Bibles, you'll notice this is in red. He says, "And behold," Jesus speaking, "I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." And the last thing he says in the entire Bible, Jesus says in verse 20, "Surely I am coming quickly." Get the picture. Jesus is saying to us, can you sense the excitement of the Lord Jesus? "I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. And my reward is with me. I have some stuff to give to those based on your work." He is excited. He's looking forward to standing. Just can you imagine the excitement of the Greek games when the judges stood on the bima and the athletes are passing? The excitement of that experience. And Jesus, to get that idea, give us the idea, he's using the same concept. He's saying, just like there's all that excitement at that games, he said, "It's going to be, I am coming with that same type of excitement. I am coming with my awards with me, and I'm going to give them to every believer based on what they have done." What have you done? What have you done? Are you excitedly running for Jesus? Are you looking forward to being awarded by him? Some Christians would tell us we shouldn't actually be thinking about the awards. But that's not biblical, because Jesus constantly, there's scripture over and over, the Bible is telling us there are awards. As I point out, one of the very last things Jesus is talking about is the awards he has to give us. But sadly, many Christians are not making much effort for Jesus. My brother, my sister, are you making much effort for Jesus? Is Jesus worth it? Is running for Jesus, is sacrificing for Jesus worth it? When Usain Bolt runs, I assume most of you know the name. When Usain Bolt runs, it's like greased lightning. But you know, he can run like that. If you ever watch his training video, you'll realize how rigorous the training is. Listen, athletes don't win without serious effort. You see, people watch these guys and they say, "Oh, he just got up and ran." No, no. They don't win without serious effort. How much effort? How much effort? If we're not careful, we put every single thing before Jesus. Our children. You better not put your child before Jesus. Riffs, don't put this baby before Jesus. He's the one who gave you. Don't ever put your children before Jesus. The child is a gift from God. In all things, the Bible says he must have the preeminence. Don't put your children, don't put your spouses, don't put your careers. Are you listening to me, young people? Don't you put anything before Jesus. He's worth it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read from verse 12 to verse 15. "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built and it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet so, as through fire." At the judgment seat of Christ, some Christians will get rewards, but other Christians will have to hang their heads in shame. You know, verse 15 has always been a challenge to me, because just imagine, after all that God has done for us, there are Christians that will leave the judgment seat of Christ with absolutely nothing. Did you see that in the verse? It says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. He will be saved, yet as through fire. There are Christians who will leave the judgment seat of Christ with nothing. They will just, the New Living Translation say, they'll get to heaven like somebody barely escaping through a wall of flames. In the Brian Grant's version, they'll make it to heaven with the smell of the smoke of hell on them. We just barely made it through. Come on now. Don't leave me. Is that how you're living? Are you so satisfied with salvation? All you want to do is just get to heaven? Or do you want to make an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God? Because you have lived for Jesus. You have lived to honor him and to bring him glory. May God help us this morning that we'll not be satisfied, that in light of the judgment seat of Christ, we will live for Jesus with a passion. You know, as I prepared this message, an old time hymn crept into my mind. I just want to read a verse or two before I move on. Here's how the hymn goes. Must I go and empty-handed thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go? This is the refrain. He said, must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him? Must I empty-handed go? And as the song goes on, the writer wrote, oh, the years in sinning wasted. Could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior. To his will, I'd gladly bow. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so, not one soul with which to greet him? Must I empty-handed go? Do you want to go empty-handed? Do you want to see Jesus empty-handed? Nothing to show. Nothing to show for what Jesus has done for you. May God help us this morning. Are you really prepared to meet God?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, and remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.